Your prayer is important to God, but the timing of that request to be answered, you may be praying the right prayer, it's just the wrong time. So your prayer might be right, but what you don't see is God is working on circumstances all around that prayer request. He's working on souls, and you don't see every soul he's working on. And he is a master orchestrator of events and souls. He is working on a lot of things. You just don't, all you see is, I lost my job. That's all you see. But God is working on a lot of things, and he's bringing it all together for his glory, for his purpose, for his kingdom. And you have to be willing to say, God, I'm going to wait on you. You know my prayer. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. Well, oh my goodness, guys, I feel like I gotta gather myself a little bit. I get lost in the presence of the Lord like a lot of you, and God is moving in this church in an amazing way. I was talking to someone in the last service, and they're visiting. This was their first weekend, and they said they've been visiting a lot of churches, and they said they just sensed something different here, and they sense this is exactly what they've been looking for. So I feel it all the time too. It's just amazing. But thank you. Thank you for those of you who are committed in this church. Thank you for those of you who are serving. Thank you for serving in the kids ministry, youth ministry, on the stage, wherever you're at. And thank you for those of you who are giving. A lot of you have made that decision to honor God with your finances, and thank you so much. This church is only as strong as those who support it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're in this series called The Early Church. And we started this series last weekend, last weekend. And it really all kind of started when, during my sabbatical, I was following the steps of Paul the Apostle. And I was in Athens and Rome. And while I was in Rome, I was in this early church. It was one of the earliest churches, or the earliest church in Rome. It was actually underground. And maybe I'll talk about it more another day. But the Lord just gave me a question when I was there. And the question was, what kind of disciples are you making? And that just stuck with me. And I realized we need the Holy Spirit. I realized that. And I also realized that we need to do a better job making early church, early Christian disciples. And the Lord gave me a word about the Holy Spirit. He told me, Reuben, the future I have for you requires a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that to you because this is a word from the Lord. It comes to you, I believe, from Rome. Here it is. The future God has for you requires a new filling of his Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Your willpower is not enough. Your intellect is not enough. Your perspective is limited. Your strength is not enough. You are not in control of as much as you think you are. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome temptations. You need the Holy Spirit to know God's will. You need the Holy Spirit to live the life God has called you to live. And that's where this whole thing started. You know, the early church, it started because of the Holy Spirit falling down on them. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit falls down on every soul here. Every soul. And you are completely, completely different. And the church is completely different. We're chasing after some things. We're walking by faith. On October 18 and 19, that weekend, we're going to have a special offering called Love the House. And all the money that's going to be given to Love the House is going to go towards our building, our property that we're working on right now. We're walking by faith. So we're asking everyone to give above and beyond. So don't just move your regular giving over or move your regular tithe. Don't do that, because then Pastor Nick won't be able to eat that week. I'm just telling you. But instead, let's give above and beyond, and let's see what God's going to do. We have 15 acres of property on Washington Street between 136th and 144th. It's premier land, but we need funds to go forward. So I am trusting the Holy Spirit to go before us and move in every heart that needs to be moved, and God will provide. So we're asking everyone to participate. Let's start with prayer. Can you pray about this? Are you willing to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Are you willing to say that prayer and see what God does? And together we're going to observe the Lord move in a transformational way. Let me just tell you where I'm at on a personal level. This week, the Lord has been speaking to me as I've been reading in Genesis, and I've been reading about the call of Abraham. And in there, there's this part where God tells Abraham, I want you to go to the land and I want you to walk it. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to walk it. I'm going to and go, look to the north and look to the south and look to the west and look to the east. And you know what the Lord told me to do? Go walk the land and go pray. So yesterday afternoon, I went wearing these pants. These pants smell like prairie dogs. I'm just telling you, prairie dogs and weeds and all kinds of stuff. And I walked that whole thing with my Bible, praying and getting on my knees and praying. And the Lord just had, I had an amazing time with the Lord on this land. I laid my hands out and I said, Lord, I pray thousands come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. I pray that thousands come to know your Holy Spirit. I pray that thousands of marriages, I pray people experience spiritual freedom from all kinds of addictions in this place. I pray that prayers are answered on this land in the name of Jesus Christ. So I just want you guys to know where I'm at. I just want you to know. You might think, Pastor has gone crazy. Yes, I've gone crazy. I believe we have a God who can do anything he wants. Is there anybody else who believes we have a big God? Hallelujah. I'm with you. So, Love the House, October 18 and 19. Let's look at the early church. We're looking at prayer today, the power of prayer. Verse 42, this describes the early church. You have to understand that the early church was really birthed when the Holy Spirit came down on about 120 people or so. And when the Holy Spirit came down, it was 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after the resurrection, a.k.a. Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit comes down on these ordinary humans, and all of a sudden they got a superpower. It was the Holy Spirit that was now inside of them, and the Holy Spirit changed them on the inside. Some of them used to be cowards, but now they're courageous, and some of them used to be weak, but now there's strength. And it's like they are now ready to take on the devil with a squirt gun. I mean, they're just at that headspace. They're ready to die for their faith. I mean, they are living on that edge, and when the Holy Spirit comes on them, the church is born. And we have, last weekend I talked about the gospel is a multiracial gospel. Glory to God. And today I want to share with you something else. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So they all come together and they are like, okay, we gotta focus on learning the word of God. We gotta hang out together and watch games together, whatever it is. And we gotta eat together. Let's eat Chipotle together, whatever it might be. And let's pray. They were devoted to prayer. And today I want to talk to you about the power of prayer. Now, my guess is if I asked all of you, hey, so how do you feel about prayer? Do you feel like God can change everything? Most of you say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you believe in prayer? Like, yeah, yeah, I believe in prayer. I think most of us would agree with that. But the prayer of the early church was really, really special. In fact, they honored the Jewish custom, and every day they got together to pray at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Could you imagine that? Every single day they got together and they prayed like that. They were committed to fasting and prayer. What's fasting? Fasting is when you abstain from something for a period of time to dedicate yourself to the Lord. So maybe they abstained from food, or maybe it was food and liquids, or maybe it was just liquid. Whatever it was, they abstained. When I fast, all I do is drink water for a period of time. It could be for a few hours, it could be for a day, it could be for a few days, whatever it is. But the idea behind that is you dedicate yourself to the Lord. That was their prayer life. They prayed and said, God, where do you want us to go? Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, use us. Holy Spirit, help us to know your will for our life. They were praying all the time. Before they traveled anywhere, they were going to God in prayer. They prayed at night. They prayed all night sometimes. They were known as people of prayer. Prayer was important to them. Let me ask you this question to launch this thing. Here it is. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Some of us have a philosophy when it comes to our relationship with God. When I exhaust my means, when I do everything I can to fix my own problem, when I knock on every door, and when I try to figure out things on my own, and I try to hustle, and I'm working two jobs or three jobs, and I'm trying to do all these things, and when I'm done with all that, if it doesn't work, then I'll pray. That's not God's will. God wants you to talk to him all the time. All the time. Let's look at this story, guys. I felt like if there's a chapter in the Bible that really captures the early church and prayer, it's got to be Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Here it is. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. Evil's been around for a long time. King Herod the Great, his granddaddy, his grandfather was another Herod that you may have heard about, usually around December. Around December 25, this is his grandfather was the Herod that said, hey, wise men, I want you to go find this new baby that's coming, this baby about to be born. They're saying he's going to be a king. I want you to tell me where he's at because I want to kill him. That was his granddaddy. So this is grandson right here. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. Have you ever felt like the bad guys are winning? You know what I mean? Like injustice is winning. And it's you know, even this week, it's such horrible events, and you think, okay, what is happening? Lord, we need you. James was killed, executed. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. Now, Peter's the guy who Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Peter is the man. So now he's in the slammer, right? This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. He's got 16 guards, prison guards, over Simon Peter. I mean, like, what do they think this dude is? He's not like a Green Beret or some Navy SEAL. He's a fisherman and a preacher. Glory to God. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. Now, everybody knows Peter is next. He killed James. He's about to kill Peter. And verse 5, this is the verse for the morning, guys. We're going to read it together. Let's start with the word but. Everybody say but. Okay, let's go. But while Peter was in prison, the church very earnestly for him. Very earnestly. It's a big but in the Bible. It's like, yep, he killed James, and now he's got Simon Peter. He's got 16 guards around him. And you have this group of Christians, these early church Christians. They say, hey, let's get together to pray. And the word that popped off the page for me was earnestly. And I double-clicked on that word. I did a little word study on that word earnestly. And you know what it means? To stretch out. It's literally this idea of the early church Christians are like, God, we need you to move right now. We're in a desperate place. Peter's about to die, Lord. Save him. Deliver him. Help us, Lord. Don't be silent. Have you ever said a prayer like that? Have you ever said a prayer where you're like, God, I need you in my life. I'm done playing games. I need you, Lord. I'm in a bad place, God. Move in my life. Have you ever been desperate for God? Here's what I've discovered. 3 minutes of an authentic desperation prayer will do more for you than 30 sermons that you hear in your life. When you cry out to God with an authentic heart, God hears you. And God is waiting for you to get to this place of desperation. And too many times the devil tricks us and the devil convinces us that you're self-sufficient. You've got everything under control. You don't need God. You're okay with on your own life. You're okay. It's just a lie from Satan himself. And if you don't believe in the devil, it doesn't make him go away. The devil is real. And his goal is to divide you, to create separation between you and the love of God, separation between you and Jesus Christ. This church prayed very earnestly for Simon Peter. Look what happens. Verse 6. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep. Now, first of all, he knows he's about to, like, go. He knows that, and he's sleeping. He's sleeping. Anybody fall asleep really fast? I'm one of those people. I know sometimes it drives Grace nuts because I fall asleep too fast. But I look at this and I'm like, why isn't he worried? And he's not in, like at a Hilton or anything like that. He's fastened with two chains between two soldiers, and others stood guard at the prison gate. So he's got shackles on him, and now he's ready. I mean, he's got people on. I mean, I don't think he's on a Tempur-Pedic. I think he's just, but he's fallen asleep. He has a peace from God. Verse 7 says, suddenly, say suddenly with me. There was a bright light in the cell. And an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him. Isn't that funny? He's a deep sleeper. Hey, wake up, man. And said, quick, get up. Say, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. Did I lose anyone yet? Yeah, it's like, how did that happen? Well, maybe they weren't on very good. Maybe they were on really good. And there's nothing impossible for God. Maybe God can do anything he wants. Verse 8, then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now, put on your coat and follow me. The angel, I love the way he's like talking to him. I'm like, okay, make sure you got your shoes on. Make sure you get a hat. You got a beanie? It's a little bit chilly outside. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so cool. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Couldn't believe it. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. Now, we don't know exactly what was happening. Maybe these guys were sleeping. Maybe they were looking at their phone. I don't know. But they just walked right by them, and they came to this iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. This iron gate just opened by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left them. Peter finally came to his senses. I think he was like, is this a dream? Is this a vision? Is this real? And at some point, Peter realized, okay, I'm awake, and I'm on this dusty road. And I think everything that just happened, I think that was real. I think, oh my goodness, it was real. So he comes to his senses. He says, it's really true. He said, the Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. And at this time, for the first 300 years or so after the resurrection of Jesus, it was illegal for Christians to meet together. They could be caught, persecuted, even killed. So there they are. They show up. And verse 13 says, he knocked at the door in the gate. And I can only imagine this. Says, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter's standing at the door. Verse 15 says, they said, you're out of your mind. I feel like they said it. You're out of your mind. That's what I feel like they said. When they insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, and isn't something how they've been praying for Peter to be set free. And Peter's outside knocking on the door. And they're like, no, that's not Peter. Have you ever told God what you think he should do, or had an expectation of how you think God would answer a prayer? I've discovered God answers prayers 99% different from what I expect, but they're always better. He uses everything. So where am I at? Verse 16, did I say meanwhile already? Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, and I just have this Peter is like, hey man, let me in kind of thing. And they open the door, and they're amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down, like, shh, and he told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. Glory to God. I think when he shared that story with them, they were probably like, wow, I didn't expect it to happen like that. I thought there would be a court process the next day. I thought there would be some people giving other testimony. I thought we would. And you know what the Lord did? He just sent an angel. And how did those shackles come off? Well, he just said, get up, and they just fell off. See, God can do anything. How many of you believe that you have a God who can do anything and nothing is impossible for your God? Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God gives us this invitation. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. It's an invite for all of us, young and old. Cry out to God, and God's going to show you things that you've never seen. Cry out to God, and God will do things in your life that you never could imagine. Cry out to God, and God will show you something beyond yourself. God will show you what he is doing. God will include you. Cry out to God. Rick Warren said, God can handle your doubt, anger, fear, grief, confusion, and questions. You can bring everything to him in prayer. Everything. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about Jonah. And he gets swallowed up by a fish. And I just think it's a cool story. And it's very unique. It feels like a kid's story because it's so unbelievable. But I love Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. Isn't that cool? I mean, he's inside a fish. I love fishing, but I can tell you fish guts can smell, right? Fish guts can smell. And I'm guessing it's a dark place. And I'm guessing he's in this place, and if you're inside the belly of a fish, I'm guessing nobody is thinking he's probably inside of a fish. I mean, if I went missing, I don't think anybody would think Pastor Reuben got swallowed by a fish. I don't think anything. You might see me on my Google navigation, like, gosh, he's swimming really fast. You know what I mean? But the truth is, he's in this dark place. And Scripture says, he says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me, I call to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You know what the Word of God is telling us right there? It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter whether you turn off your phone. It doesn't matter whether you have no signal. It doesn't matter if you're at a place that's a dark place. It doesn't matter if you're running and you're in a place that you shouldn't be at and you know. It doesn't matter if nobody else knows where you're at. God sees you. God knows where you're at. And it can smell like fish guts, but he will hear your prayer. God will hear your prayer. Wherever you're at, you have a God who will hear your prayer. I know some of you are like, man, I'm in the wrong place right now. I made some bad decisions. I'm in the wrong bed right now. I'm in the wrong job right now. I'm running in the wrong place. God will hear your prayer if you cry out to him. Isn't it cool? It's not like your phone. You don't need a signal. He just sees you. You got five bars all the time with him. He's just ready to hear you. You can cry out to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jim Cymbalist said, trouble is one of God's great servants because it reminds us how much we continually need the Lord. That's the beautiful thing about trouble. I know trouble is hard. Nobody likes trouble. I get that. But you know what? Sometimes God allows us to get ourselves into trouble. And it's the circumstances around us. You lose your job. You get a bad health prognosis. You're involved in a breakup. A friend backstabs you. Whatever it is, there's something that happens in your life that shakes you and rattles you. And you know what happens? You realize, I'm not in control. I thought I was in control. And this is what happens. You say, God, help me. Glory to God. God will use trouble to get your attention. So don't wait for trouble to come. Turn to God right now while you have breath in your lungs. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. I love Psalm 34. It says, the Lord hears his prayer when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. What's the greatest prayer that you have today? What's going on in your life? You're at church right now. What is it? If there was, you don't have to shout it out, but if there was something you just need God to move in your life, maybe you need to be rescued. Maybe you need to be healed. Maybe you just aren't sure if God exists. Maybe it's a marriage thing. Maybe it's a home thing. Maybe it's about the kids. Maybe whatever it is. What do you need God to do in your life? When you look at the Bible, you see examples of how God moved. Abraham prayed for a promise, and he was 75 years old, and he got this promise. But baby Isaac did not come for another 25 years. Abraham was 100 years old. So for those 25 years, Abraham learned to wait on God and to walk by faith. And he was credited to be righteous during that time. Jacob prayed for a blessing when he was wrestling with God, and he got it. Hannah prayed for a son. Elijah prayed for a widow's son. Elijah prayed for rain after 3.5 years of a drought, and he prayed for rain. Elisha prayed for a new perspective for his servant, and God showed him a heavenly army. King Hezekiah prayed for healing. He was really sick, and the Lord said, all right, I won't take your life now. I'm going to give you more years. Jabez prayed for new territory. Moses prayed for Israel, and I love this one. Joshua was in a battle, and he was winning, but the sun was going down. So Joshua said, God, would you make the sun stand still so I can finish kicking these guys' butts and I can kill all of them? And God made the sun stand still for Joshua. Isn't that not crazy? There is nothing impossible. And whatever you're facing in your life, I know some of you, you came to church and you're like, boy, I'm at the end. I'm at the end. I'm at the end of my hope. I'm at the end. I don't know what else to do with my kid. He's going there sideways. I don't know what else. My marriage, we don't even, I've made such a mess in my life. I don't know what, and I want you to hear this. Nothing is impossible for God. And you are not too far for God to reach. God can reach you where you're at. He's a God of love and grace and mercy. And there's still hope in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Nothing is impossible with God. I love this. Mark Batterson said, if your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. Isn't that good? He also said this, prayers are prophecies. They are the best predictors of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. Isn't that good? What are you praying for? Your prayers will determine your destiny. You're praying to see God. You're praying to know God. You know what? You're going to know God. You're praying for God's will. Guess what? You're going to find God's will. You're praying for a relationship. You're praying for God's purpose. Guess what? You're going to know it. But too many times, here's what we pray for. We just pray for ourselves. God, I need more money. God, I just want you to heal my body. God, and those are good prayers, but they're limited prayers. God can do so much more. How often should you pray? Well, Paul said in Thessalonians, well, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Another version says, pray unceasingly for all of you old-time Christians. Richard Foster said this, carry on an ongoing conversation with God about the daily stuff of life. Do not worry about proper praying. Just talk to God. God wants to hear from you. You know, some of my greatest prayers is like if I'm working out in my basement. I get on my knees and I'm just talking to God. Or if I'm mowing the lawn. Anybody ever have prayers just like doing things? Walking around the neighborhood or whatever it is. Or being in the kitchen washing dishes or something like that. Just normal, ordinary things. God wants you to just talk to him. Grace always says, are you talking to me or who are you talking to right now? I said, well, I'm talking to God. That's what I'm doing. Sometimes we think, we don't have a lot of time. William Wilberforce, it's a popular name. He was involved with the abolition of slavery. And he said this, I must secure more time for private devotions. I have been living far too public for me. The shortening of devotions starves the soul. It grows lean and faint. I have been keeping too late hours. He says so much. When your soul is not right and you're not spending any time with God's word, you're not praying, you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, your soul can become lean and faint. You can feel spiritually weak. You can still get through the days. You can still, but you're discouraged. You can still get through the days and you can fake other people out. But you know your soul is just not at a great place. And you're staying up too late. He said there's too late hours. So he's just exhausted. You ever feel like I'm just exhausted all the time? You're not giving God your best. When you spend time with God and reading his devotions, and even it doesn't have to be a whole chapter, it could be a little bit, whatever it is, you just spend time crying out to God. God will minister to your soul. And then you're able to do what God is calling you to do. when I was in Brooklyn, New York, a few years back in 2012, and I actually got prayed on by Jim Cimbala, but my soul was just not at a good place, and I was preaching all the time, but I was exhausted, I was broken, and you can do good things and be exhausted. Paul said in Philippians, he said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. You give it to God, and he'll give you peace. I like the way Martin Luther said it. Pray and let God worry. Your worry doesn't help out the situation. It doesn't help out anything, does it? But you pray and you say, "God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to cry out to you. I need you to move in my life." And then you leave it in God's hands. I want to teach you something called an ACTS prayer model. This is a popular model that a lot of people learn early on, and I think it's a good model. You can talk to God, and God wants you to talk to him. It doesn't have to be formal. It could be very informal. It could be very casual. And I've had those moments that God has just really, really ministered to me. But the ACTS model teaches this. It's A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. That means when you pray, you start off your prayer with praising God. "God, I praise you. You are so good. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for your mercy over my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for, you are so good." You just praise God for who he is. And C stands for confession. Confession means it's to agree with. In other words, you are looking at yourself through the eyes of God. And you recognize, "I have sin in my life. God, forgive me for this sin. I want to turn away from this sin. Forgive me for my intentional sin and forgive me for my unintentional sin. I confess before you that I'm a sinner in need of God's, in need of your grace, God." That's confess. And T stands for thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for your love. And S stands for supplication. And here comes the request. "God, would you move in me? God, would you deliver me from this situation? God, I need a new job. God, my friend really hurt me. God, I have a hard relationship at work right now. God, I have a rough relationship with my spouse right now." Whatever it is, that's the S part. And at the end of all of this, I'm going to tell you how to finish every prayer. You say these words, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray all of this. In the name of Jesus Christ," because there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name that's higher than the name of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." That's the way you pray. That's the way you pray. So it can be casual and it can just be chill and it can be talking to God, but you can also go through the ACTS prayer model, either one. Now, why are some prayers not answered? Sometimes we pray and nothing happens. I'm going to share with you seven things that will block your prayers. Here it is. First thing that will block your prayer is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. You've got sin in your life. You know you're doing something, whatever it is. You're living in a way that's not honoring God, whatever it is. Unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, David said, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then," say then with me, "then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." God wants you to be authentic. God wants you to seek him with all of your heart. Another thing that can potentially block your prayer life is this: wrong motives. James said, "You want what you don't have. You scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want, and because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." God sees your motives. God cares about your motives. The purpose of prayer is not only about you getting a request answered. It's more than, God is more than a cosmic vending machine. The purpose of prayer is for you to know God. God wants you to know him. Another thing that'll just, you know, really halt your, you know, prayers being answered is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Mark chapter 11 says it like this. Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it'll be yours. Verse 25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. God wants you to forgive others, just as Christ has forgiven you. And you just have to look to the cross. God's grace is greater than your sin. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing that'll hold up your prayers is this: pride. Pride is as old as Lucifer in heaven when he was an angel in heaven and he got kicked out. He got booted out. A third of the angels went with him, demons. But in Luke chapter 18, you read this story about this parable of the Pharisee and tax collector. The Pharisee grew up in the church. The Pharisee knew all the Bible stories. The Pharisee memorized much of scripture. He knew what's known as the Pentateuch. He knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Pharisee knew the 613 Torah laws. I mean, he just knew all of it. The Levitical laws, the system, he knew it all. He had all the knowledge, all the information. And he was there praying to God and praying. And he turned and he said, you know what, I'm so grateful. I'm not like that tax collector. That guy's a scumbag. I'm so glad my righteousness is better. And he elevated himself. And in the meantime, the tax collector stood at a distance, and the tax collector beat his chest. And scripture says, he said, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says this in this story, I tell you this, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God loves it when you humble yourself. Pride will keep you from knowing God. Pride will keep you from growing closer to God. Pride will keep you from those things. The other thing that will affect your prayer life is relationships. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, in the same way, you husbands, hello, must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. How you treat others matters to God. Your relationship with others matters to God. Doubt is another thing that'll prevent prayers from being answered. Jesus said, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I like what Mark Batterson said. He said, if God is speaking to your heart, don't let your mind get in the way of what God wants to do. Isn't that good? We can overthink. Well, how did that happen? Simon Peter's not at the door. He's got 16 soldiers watching him and he's in chains. There's no way. Come back over here and let's keep praying for him. Timing. David said in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Your prayer is important to God, but the timing of that request to be answered, you may be praying the right prayer, it's just the wrong time. So your prayer might be right, but what you don't see is God is working on circumstances all around that prayer request. He's working on souls, and you don't see every soul he's working on. And he is a master orchestrator of events and souls. He is working on a lot of things. You just don't, all you see is, I lost my job. That's all you see. But God is working on a lot of things, and he's bringing it all together for his glory, for his purpose, for his kingdom. And you have to be willing to say, God, I'm going to wait on you. You know my prayer. Like Abraham said, God, I don't know what's going on. Somebody once, an old professor friend of mine used to tell me, he's convinced God's watch is broken, but he's never late. It just feels like that sometimes. You're like, God, I'm going to trust you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Jim Cimbala said this, there's a prayer only the Holy Spirit can give you. Oh, you got to hear this. There is a prayer only the Holy Spirit can give you. When you say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, direct my thoughts. Holy Spirit, sanctify my heart. Holy Spirit, I want your will for my life. All of a sudden, God will give you prayers through his Holy Spirit that you would never think of on your own. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to say prayers for people, for others, for groups, for the nation. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will give you a prayer right from heaven. I can't tell you how many times in my prayer life I say something and I'm like, where did that come from? And there's something inside of me that just knows that's from the Lord. That's God. God is the one who's leading this. And God will lead you and include you in bigger things. Eventually, you'll have to get to the place that Jesus got in Luke chapter 22, right before the cross, right before the suffering. He said this prayer, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, because it was a cup of suffering. It was the weight of the sins of the world. Then he said, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's next level stuff right there, guys. That's that place where, you know what, God, your will is more important than my will. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want. It's not about my pride. It's not about my feelings being hurt. It's not about my comfort. It's not about any of those things. You know what, God, I want your will. That is next level stuff right there. The church prays. God's heart is especially moved when the church stops what they're doing and gathers together for prayer. Now, I get it. We can all just like pray to God whenever you want. You pray in your car, you can pray in the kitchen. I get all that stuff, and that's important. You need to do that. But there are certain emergency situations that require emergency prayer. And you see the early church come together. Wouldn't you love it if you were going through a problem and the whole church came together on one night to pray for you? How would that make you feel? Would you be encouraged about that? If you're going through marriage problems and the whole church came together to pray for you, if you're going through financial problems, if you're emotional battles or spiritual battles or addictions, whatever it is, and the whole church came together for you, you would be so encouraged. The whole church came together because Simon Peter was in jail and he was about to die, just like James. And the church came together and prayed. You know what that means? They stopped what they were doing. They stopped life and they said, nothing else is important. We're gonna stop everything and we're gonna come together and pray. And we're gonna pray earnestly. We're gonna pray earnestly for God to move. There's a church that exists in London even today. It's called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. The Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. And in the 1800s, there were these five college students. They were in their early 20s. Shout out to young adults. They were in their early 20s, and they wanted to go visit this church, this church called the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. So they go to this church because they've heard a lot about it, and they've heard a lot about their preacher. So they show up, and there's this gentleman that opens the door. And they say, hey, can we tour the church? We've heard so much about this church. And the gentleman said, yeah, you want to go check out the boiler room? The furnace room? And they're like, no, we don't want to go downstairs to the boiler room or a furnace. We want to see, show us the worship center. They're like, all right, I'll show you the worship center. He goes and shows them the worship center, and it's beautiful. And they're like, wow, that's amazing. And then he says, now do you want to go see the boiler room? They were about to do a service in a little bit. And he said, no, I don't want to go see the boiler room. Show us the kids area. All right, we'll show you the kids area. Show them the kids area. Now show us the youth area. I'll show you the youth area. This is where the lobby, this is where we eat sometimes. Oh, that's great. And the gentleman kept saying, don't you want to see the boiler room? And finally, they didn't want to hurt the guy's feelings. And they said, all right, show us the boiler room. So they walked down the steps into the boiler room, all the way down, and it was just what you expect, hot, uncomfortable. And he opened up the door to the boiler room, and there was hundreds of people on their knees praying. Praying. The church was praying. That gentleman that was giving them the tour was the preacher, and they didn't know it. And his name was Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Charles Spurgeon. And I want you to know, the secret sauce of a church is how many people are in that boiler room. How many people are crying out to God and coming together That's the secret sauce. Mark chapter 11, Jesus said this about the church. He began to teach them and say to them, it is not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. This is where I'm at, guys. I'm just telling you, Thorn Creek Church is going to become stronger in our prayer life. We are going to be known for a house of prayer. That's where we're going. I hope you get on this train. I believe there are miracles from heaven that are waiting to happen when the church comes together. There are miracles for your life and for your home and for your soul. There is a purpose for your life that is hanging in the balance, and it's going to come to fruition when the church comes together and we honor God and we cry out to God earnestly and simply say, God, I need you in my life. I need you to do a miracle in my soul. We need you in our nation, Lord. We need you in our city. I need you in my home. I need you with my kids. God, move in my life in Jesus' name. God's gonna move when you cry out to him like that. Here's what we do every week, guys. We do this already. Every Wednesday we come together and pray. At 6 o'clock. Have you been here? Every Wednesday. Park in the back. We're doing it every single Wednesday. It's a small group, but that small group has been praying for you. I want you to know that. That small group that they put in prayer requests in a bucket and I just read them. But it's about 45 minutes long and we pray. I lead it and sometimes another pastor will lead it. It's a great, great time of prayer. Now here's what we're gonna do for the first time this week. We're rolling it out. Because I believe so much that there's miracles in heaven for you and for me when we come together as a church and pray. Prayer is powerful. Starting this Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. in the morning, we're gonna have Zoom prayer. You're gonna be able to join others by Zoom at 6:30 in the morning every Tuesday. All you have to do is go to thorncreek.church and scroll down and you can join by Zoom at 6:30 in the morning. I know of another church that's doing this. They have 400 to 600 people from their church joining by Zoom every single week. Glory to God. So check it out. You can have your phone right from your house. You can join by Zoom and you can do it while you're brushing your teeth or you're fixing eggs or you're putting on makeup. I don't know. Or you're out walking the dog in the morning or you're driving, whatever. You don't have to show us the video because I know some of us are a little sensitive with how we look like without makeup. So just whatever. Just join us every single Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. I'll be leading it. And we're going to be doing it for about 20 minutes or so because we believe in the power of prayer. And there's people that you're sitting with right now that need God to move in their life. You need God to move in your life. And as a church, we need to come together and declare war in the name of Jesus Christ against the devil. Evil's not going to win. The devil's not going to win. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the Lord has a purpose for your life. Just like the early disciples, they're like, well, they killed James. And God's saying, I have a plan. I have a plan. They got Simon Peter. And the Lord is like, I have a plan. And God's going to stretch your perspective of who God is. God's going to stretch your understanding of who God is. God's going to give you a global perspective for the kingdom of heaven. And God's going to use you in a way that you never imagined. God's going to use you in a way you never imagined. God's going to use you in a way you never imagined. That's your God. That's your God. That's your God. He's going to use you in a way you never imagined. And I'm talking to you who think, not me. I'm talking to you who think I'm too old. I'm talking to you who think it's for somebody else. No, 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 no. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them he's talking to you right now. God's going to use you in a way you never imagined. God has a plan for your life. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to know him. And God is in this rescue mission. He is depopulating hell and building the kingdom of heaven because it's for the kingdom. It's for the kingdom. Oh, Jesus, help me. I just want to close this guys out with a prayer. Let me just start off with this because I want to give you a chance to respond. Oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. If you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray a special prayer for you. You came to church, maybe somebody dragged you, I don't know. But now you feel like God is moving in you and you realize, I need to turn to Jesus. So here's the first request. Oh, Lord, help me. If you'd like to become a Christian right now and you want to invite Jesus into your heart, would you stand up really quickly? I want to say a special prayer for you. Anybody in the house who wants to turn to Jesus? We got a brother over here. Praise the Lord. Way to go for standing up. We got another one right here. Way to go, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stay standing. Anybody else want to turn to Jesus? There's a party in heaven when someone turns to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, so you guys are going to stay standing, and I'm going to ask you to come forward here in a little bit. But I'm going to open this up to everyone. I'm going to say a special prayer for both of you guys, but here's the invite. Let's practice being the house of prayer right now. If you've got a need in your heart, you need God to move in your life, for whatever it is, I want you to stand up and come forward, and let's gather around here, and let's pray. Come quickly. Come quickly. Just come forward. You got a burden in your heart. You need God to move in your life. You need God to move in your home. You need God to move in your soul. And you want him. You can stand. You can kneel. Whatever is comfortable for you. Let's come together as a church and let's just pray and say, God, I need you to move. Walk by faith, not by sight. God wants to move in your life. Come on. Oh. And Lord, I want to start by praying for those two people that stood up. And for those of you who are ready to accept Jesus, just say this: Jesus, I turn to you right now. I want to become a Christian. Forgive me for my sins. Help me. I want to turn away from that life. I want to repent from that life. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And put your Holy Spirit inside of me. Today I choose you, Jesus. Today I become a Christian. Others of you, I want to invite you to do something. You have a need in your life. And in boldness, I want to ask you to just pray for that out loud. Let's pray right now. Pray out loud in the name of Jesus. Pray. Confess your sins to him. Thank him. Cry out to him. Tell him what you need. Pray in faith. Pray the impossible. God, thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know your Spirit's here, and you're moving in hearts, and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for that. Continue to do that. And I just pray that every person who's cried out to you, I know you've heard them, and I pray that you answer them in the name of Jesus. I pray that you do a miracle in every man and every woman, in their soul, in their spirit, in their home. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Say in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is so good. Look how the Holy Spirit is moving, church. Look how the Holy Spirit is moving. This is a great song. Let's sing it by faith. God is here and God's moving. God heard your prayers.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.